We're going to talk about the purposes of the Christian life. And there's many purposes of the Christian life. There's many things that we're, as Christians, we should be doing in our lives. But a lot of people have different ideas about what the purpose of the Christian life should be. Or the purpose of life, period. Have you ever stopped and wondered why God created us and put us here on this earth to live about 70 years and then die? Did he have a purpose in mind for us, or did he just put us here for his entertainment? Did he put me here just to be a carpenter? Are you here just to do what you do? Or does he have some greater purpose in mind for our lives? You know, when God made Adam, he put him in the garden to keep it and to dress it. And when he cast him out, he told him that cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so Adam became the first farmer. And it sounds like that was his sole purpose in life, just by what God told him there. But you know, Adam had been called the father of all mankind. And so, when you think about that, you think about God having a greater purpose for him. You know, Jesus himself could trace his roots all the way back to Adam. Could this have been Adam's real purpose in life, to be the father of all mankind? You know, if you went out on the street and you ask the average person what the purpose of life was, he or she might say, to live your life to the fullest. Work hard so you can take care of your family until your children are grown and have their own families. Work hard so you can save money, so you can hopefully retire someday, and then you can spend the rest of your days enjoying your grandkids and live the rest of your life doing the things that you like to do. Another might say, to try and gain as much wealth as I can, and I become as famous as I can, because you can't really enjoy life without having these things. And you don't never know. Maybe I'll go down in history as somebody important in this life. Another might say that their purpose in life was to help as many people along the way as they could, and hopefully make a difference in your part of the world and leave the world a better place than it was when you came into it. But I would venture to say that there would be more that would be trying to keep up or stay ahead of their neighbor rather than loving their neighbor and helping them along. But you know, and I know, there's much more to life than just storing up as many material possessions as we can in our lives. You know, it's been said that life is a game that everybody plays. But we know that life is much more serious than the games people play. However, if we take a closer look at the world today, we see a sports-oriented world. We see that the majority of the world is caught up in one game or another. You know, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the wise man said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Today, it's train up a child in the sport that you love, and someday, he might be rich and famous like Tiger Woods or LeBron James or Tom Brady. Today, parents are getting their kids involved in some sports as young as 3 to 4 years old. You know, I was watching TV the other night, and I was watching an interview of a pro golfer. And he said that he was 18 months old the first time he ever swung a golf club. And now he's around 26, 27, 28 years old, and he's number 8 in the world. Is this a good idea to start teaching our kids about sports during their impressionable years instead of teaching them about God? Do you think a child that becomes involved in a sport is going to want to miss a sporting event to go to church? You know, I was a boy once, and I was involved in Little League Baseball. And occasionally, we'd have a makeup game on Wednesday night. And we had church on Wednesday night in Pampa. Which do you think that I wanted to do at my age back then? You look at the world today and you see people that are more oriented towards sports than anything else. That's their number one priority. You know, they're year round there are professional and college games every Saturday and every Sunday. And it just goes one to another all year long. And there's so many sports that I don't even know what all the sports are. If you tried to sit down and name them all, I don't think you could. How many people do you think miss church to attend a sporting event on Sunday morning? Or Sunday afternoon, for that matter? More than we could even start to count. Probably millions every Sunday. How many of these people do you think just purpose to live to the next Saturday or Sunday so they can attend another sporting event or watch one or more on TV? Now, I'm not saying we should not allow our kids to participate in sports. They can learn many good lessons from playing sports. But one thing that they don't need to learn is that playing sports is more important than serving God, and that's their purpose in life. But you look at the world today and you see men and women that's their purpose in life, to play sports. And some of them, when their time runs out, a lot of them it runs out in the 40s, in their age 40s. And they don't know what to do with their lives, the rest of their lives. Because they don't have any spiritual lives. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." You know, there comes a time in everyone's life that they need to put away childish things. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's fine for people to, men and women, to be involved in some recreational sports occasionally. But I don't think they ought to make it their purpose in life. They shouldn't put it ahead of God. God should be first in their lives. We remember how Jesus, at the age of 12, told his parents that he needed to be about his Father's business. He knew at the early age of 12 what the purpose of his life was, and he intended to get to doing that purpose. Now, we might be thinking, well, Jesus already knew what his purpose was because he was begotten of God. Well, he probably did. Probably did already know. But that doesn't mean that we can't find our purpose at a very early age. So where do we look to find our purpose? Can we find it by going to a sporting event? Can we find it at a lake? You know, there's professional fishermen that fish all the time for money and for prizes. Can we find it out on the golf course? Probably not. Can we find it at the mall? No. Can't find it there. Can we learn what it is by talking to the wisest men and women in the world? No. Because to them, this is foolishness. So where are we supposed to find what our purpose in life is? Would it be so unreasonable to think that we could find our purpose by looking to God? You know, it stands to reason, if we want to know the purpose of our being, we should turn to the one that created us. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look into God's Word and see through His eyes what His purpose in this life is for us. We find in James chapter 4 and verse 13 that life is short. And so we shouldn't waste our time being about the Father's business. There James says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Thereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. You know, our life can dissipate as quickly as a vapor. And even if we live to be 80 or 90 or 100 years old, as some of you have, it's still a very short life compared to eternity. So we need to get busy and find out what life's purposes are for us as Christians and go to work on them. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So following after Jesus, we should work the works of God and walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called to do. You know, it's a tragedy that so many people today think the purpose of life is to gain as many possessions as they can so they can live comfortably and enjoy the pleasures of life. They spend all of their lives striving to be great in wealth, and then they die. And what happens then? Well, whatever doesn't go to the government goes to their heirs if they've got heirs. It just doesn't pay to covet worldly possessions. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Then he goes on to talk about the rich man who had a bigger harvest than what his barns would hold. The rich man thought within himself, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And we know the story, how he said, I will say unto my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? And then in verse 23, Jesus said, the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. So there's much more to life than these worldly possessions, isn't there? And we shouldn't covet those things. So why do we work so hard to provide food and clothing for ourselves and our families, yet we put so little time in providing for the preservation of our souls? Is it because the purpose of our life is to grow materially rather than spiritually? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, if we spend all of our lives seeking after fame or fortune, that's exactly what we've done. We've exchanged our soul and lost it for a life of pleasure. You know, there's many other things that people do in this life and think that's their purpose in this life. And we could talk all morning about that. But we want to get to the purpose of the Christian life. You know, there was a show on TV a while back. Y'all probably all seen the show, Forrest Gump. Forrest makes the comment that his mother always told him, said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And that statement's true to some degree in the physical realm of life. But you know, if you eat enough boxes of chocolate, you begin to recognize what chocolate is what. And besides that, today, a lot of the chocolates come with a guide to tell you which one's which. I like those kind. But you know, in the spiritual realm of our lives, if we're knowledgeable in the truth, we should always know what we're getting. And if we are to strive after anything in this life, we should strive after the things that pertain to God, the things that God wants. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If we're going to be pleasing to God, we must attend to the things that he considers to be the important purposes of life and not become involved in the unimportant matters of our physical lives. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, we find, I think, probably the main purpose of life. There the writer says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, when God created man, he didn't create him because he was bored or didn't have anything to do. He created man for his glory. In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, he said, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God wasn't looking for something to do when he created man. He created man to serve him and to give him glory. In Matthew chapter 4, when the devil was tempting Jesus, he took him up on a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him in verse 10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, obviously, this was written for our admonition. Jesus left an example of service to God for us to implement in our Christian lives. He showed us that even under duress, we should still give service to God. We should realize that nothing we could attain in this life would be better than the rewards that we will receive for serving God. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses had received the commandments from God. And he was talking to the children of Israel. He was trying to convince them to fear God and to love God and to do his commandments. And we know what kind of trouble they were, struggles they were having with that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17, Moses said, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto his fathers. You know, the children of Israel struggled with that. Every time, all the time things were going good with them, well, they didn't have any problem with that. But when things weren't really going so good for them, then they turned against God and they wouldn't obey his commands. You know, Joshua summed it up this way. In Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua got it right, didn't he? And that's what we should live by today. We should have the same conviction that Joshua had. Another purpose in life, in the Christian life, is to seek God's kingdom first. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is he talking about? Well, he's been talking about all the material things of this life. The things that people covet. The things, the necessities of life that we need every day. The material needs of the body. You know, if you look back at the children of Israel and you see how God took care of them, even when they were being disobedient to him. When they were in the wilderness. When they needed water. He provided water for them. When they needed food. He provided manna from heaven. And when they wanted more than bread, when they wanted meat, he provided quail for them, more than they could gather. How much more would he provide for someone who would be obedient to him and seek him first? Look at how he blessed Solomon. When Solomon asked for nothing more than an understanding heart to judge God's people and to discern between good and evil. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God not only gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart, but he also had given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Speaking of his father David, David wrote in Psalms chapter 37, verses 3 to 5, said, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You know, the blessings that God would give us would be more than we could imagine if we would just put him first and seek his kingdom above all other things. Another purpose we want to talk about is doing the Father's will. You know, Jesus made it plain that he came here to this earth to do the Father's will. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." In John chapter 5 and verse 30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And Jesus did just exactly what he said he came here to do. He came to do the will of the Father, and he did the will of the Father all the way to his death on the cross for our sins. That was the will of the Father, and he did it. The example is there for us to follow. But in order for us to follow the example, we're going to have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily to follow him. The more we seek to do his will, the more his love and blessings will flow to us. Paul told the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15, "And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him." Again in Hebrews 13, verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So, we should purpose in life, in our Christian life, to do his will in everything, that we may be pleasing to him, that he will reward us abundantly. Number 4, completing the course joyfully. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That was quite a turnaround, wasn't it? Quite a change for a man whose purpose in life had been to persecute Christians and do all he could contrary to the name of Jesus. Now, it didn't matter to him that he was being persecuted. All he wanted to do was complete his course joyfully for Christ and to complete his ministry. He says in chapter 21, verse 13, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Paul made a complete change from the man he was before. He truly sacrificed and gave up all to follow Christ. And he would let nothing keep him from finishing his course joyfully. Over in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul knew that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. And he was out to convince the church at Rome that there was nothing that could separate them from the love of Christ. Not even death. He was ready to die. But he knew it was more needful for him to finish his course, just as it is for us to finish our course. We need to look at the example given in Paul to move forward to our end. And if we do, then we can have the same confidence that Paul had in 2 Timothy 4 in verse 6 to 8, where he said, "Now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but and to all them also that love his appearing." Finally, in conclusion this morning, another purpose of life which should be important and high on our list of purposes is attaining Christ likeness. Becoming like Christ is very important to our salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21-24, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." The example that Christ left for us was a perfect example. And following after him is imperative. Even following the likeness of his death. And that's very important. Following the likeness of his death. And we find the likeness of his death in Romans chapter 6, in verses 3 to 6. Where he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, none of us can be perfect like Jesus because he was without sin. But we need to strive to be near as like him as we can. And one way we can do that is by following after the Apostle Paul. Strangely enough, considering his previous life, but the Apostle Paul was a changed man. His old man was crucified with Jesus. And all those things were cleansed. In Philippians chapter 3, listen to what Paul said in verses 13 to 17. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. How many of us strive to be like Christ? How many of us follow after the example of Paul? How many of us even consider the spiritual purposes of our lives? Or are we caught up in the material things of this life? Are we caught up in covetousness? You know, that's easy to do when we get slack in gaining knowledge of the truth. You know, back in the day, the Bible says God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't want that to happen to us, do we? We need to continue in the knowledge of the truth so that we can discern between what is our purpose in life and what is our desire in life. The Word of God will direct us in the paths of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 4 offers some good words of admonition to close out this lesson this morning. Beginning in verse 20, he said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, in health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Very profound statement.